is a good thing, but people had trouble seeing it was such. So here's the context in which I'm speaking from on this message. It's out of Exodus 13, and in Exodus 12, here's what we see. We see the Passover. We see a nation that had been enslaved for over 400 years. They'd been slaves for 400 years. God finally showed up in like a supernatural, amazing way. They have all these plagues, and the final plague, the ruler of the land, Pharaoh, says, y'all get out of here. God is for real. Y'all leave. And so they do leave. They're leaving. But they're not leaving poor. They're leaving rich because the nation that they came from, Egypt, they asked all, God told them, ask your slave masters, ask the people of Egypt for all of their gold and their all of their silver, all their precious jewels. And they gave them to the slaves who were now leaving. And so in chapter 13, we see them in the leaving. Y'all ready? Man, I wish I had printed stuff, but this is going to have to do. The long way around. Exodus 13, verse 17. I'm out of New American Standard tonight because this is my old school Bible. I've been preaching from the New Living, which is great, but I've had this Bible for probably 10 or 12 years and had it rebound once. It's awesome. I love it. This is kind of like my go-to Bible. Chapter 13, verse 17. Now, when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence, God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel went up in martial array from the land of Egypt. Okay, God promised them that they would have this amazing place to live, that it would be awesome, that there would be this entire land for a nation of millions of people, probably about 4 million people at this time. And he promises them, he says, listen, I've got this amazing place for you, just trust me. And when they are set free from captivity, which in and of itself was miraculous and huge, and you, if you haven't read the book, you've probably seen the movie in Prince of Egypt or the Ten Commandments, but I mean, it was huge. It was amazing. God showed up in an amazing way. They're freed from slavery. And the place that God has promised them, he says to himself, apparently, Pharaoh let the people go. Verse 17, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Now, that's the shortest route. From where they were to the place that God had promised them, y'all know how long that would have taken them to walk that with an entire nation? Anybody have a clue how long the walk would be? Yes, sir. 11 about 11 days if it was like you and me. Like we'd put our backpacks on and go. But you got a whole nation, you got kids, but at the most it'd probably be a month. Let's just say it was the long version. So they were 1 month away from the place that God had promised them. 1 month. And at best, 11 days. And if you're loaded down with all your stuff and you're ready to go and you got what you can carry on your back and you know that something good's just 11 days away, they might have made the trip that fast. God had promised them a place. But when he called them out of the place where they used to be, he did not take them immediately to the place that he had promised. He took them the long way around. Y'all realize that? The long way around. And he says, I didn't lead them there, even though it was near. The people might change their minds when they see war return to Egypt. Here is the tendency for everybody when God's delivered them and God set them free to go back to the very place that they came from. How many of you, God delivered you from a habit in the past? Anyone here? Anybody here admit openly like, yes, he did, but I went right back to it. Anybody? Okay, thank you. Why is that? Because it's the nature of humanity to turn from God and to turn to something else. Have y'all figured that out? All you have to do is look at the Old Testament. That's what it was like. People encounter God. He shows up miraculously. They follow him until like they get distracted. And like then they go back and do their own thing. Or until difficulty sets in. Or until there's a real battle. And then what do? They go back to the very thing that they were delivered from. But why did God take them the long way around? I titled it The Long Way Around. Why would God lead us on the longer road? That's the question that I asked yesterday. God, why would you lead us on the longer road? I got three short things. This is going to be like the shortest service in the history of our church. That's okay though, right? Nobody goes, gosh, that was like too short. Number one, why does God lead us on the longer road? Because the shortest way isn't always the better way. That's just so ridiculously dumb. But it's true. Okay, I'm a man. I like to go from point A to point B. On a road trip, I like to take like the direct route. Like, how long is it going to be? And you can type it into your phone. My wife and I recently took a 15-hour road trip, typed it into your phone on Google Maps, and they give you three different routes. Which route do you think I took? Shortest time. I don't care about the distance. Give me the time. I'll take the interstate and go fast. I just want to get there, okay? The shortest way isn't always the best way. Where we were staying in Jonesboro, Tennessee, it was awesome. It was an antebellum home that was built in 1848 in the hills of backwoods Tennessee, in East Tennessee, Northeast Tennessee, just outside Johnson City. It was huge. It was over 8,500 square feet, 7 bedrooms, 5.5 baths. We were the only people there, and it was reserved for pastors by the former owner of the New Orleans Hornets. He set that up for pastors can go for free. So, like, we took advantage of that. It was awesome, and it was phenomenal. And so it was about an hour and a half away to Gatlinburg. So we spent 2 days in Gatlinburg. Well, the first day, we drove there the short way, and I decided, you know what, maybe we should go back the long way. Man, I'm so glad we did. It went along a river almost the whole way up into the mountain. It was just amazingly gorgeous. Do you know what happens when we get hell-bent on going down the short road? We miss what God has for us. And I'm just telling you, many times, like, we want to take the short road to things. Like, we go, man, God's delivered me from this, and here I want to go right to the place that God has for me in blessing. But God doesn't always bring us to the place of blessing first. Have you figured that out? And in fact, he will often bring us to the wilderness first. Let me read that verse again. Maybe I misread it. I'm not quite sure. It says that even though it's near, the people might change their minds. Look at verse 18. Hence, God led the people around by the way of the wilderness. God leads people into the wilderness. I want us to get this. Please get this. God leads people into the wilderness. Tell me what the wilderness is. Somebody. We got hardly anybody here tonight. Come on, y'all talk to me. What is the wilderness? I'm going to throw a shoe at somebody. You don't answer me. The world? Come on, that's too spiritual. Don't give me a spiritual answer. What is the... Has anybody ever been in the wilderness? And I'm not talking metaphorically here. I'm talking practically reality. Have you ever been in the wilderness? Yes, sir. Where have you been? New Mexico desert. That is definitely the wilderness. Where else? Roatán, Honduras. Yes, that would qualify. Anybody else? Yes, sir. A gravel road, I can relate to that. A gravel road where you have no idea where you are. Anybody else in the wilderness? I mean, I'm a backpacker. I love to backpack. I've been in the wilderness a whole bunch. And I'm like, where are we? Dude, I'm on a trail somewhere. Probably if, like, I got hurt, I'm about 3 days from help. So let's be careful here. You're in the middle of nowhere. I have no idea where I'm going. I actually recently took a backpacking trip to Arkansas. I'll be headed out to Big Bend in the fall, hopefully. Yay. I love it. And so we were 3 days in the middle of nowhere. If I'd have broke my ankle, it'd have been bad because we had no cell phone with us. We had, even if we did, we didn't have cell coverage. We were literally at the closest point, a day and a half walk from anywhere. And I mean, we were in the middle of nowhere. And the only way, like we had like a rough printout map, but the only thing that really gave us any direction, do you know what it was? No, the sun doesn't, I mean... Yeah, I mean, I can tell north, south, east, west. I mean, that's great, except, like, there's no towns within a 20-mile radius. And like, the chances of me, like, stumbling onto a town that had been few and far between, I could have stumbled onto a road and then had to walk 10 miles. I mean, how, when you're in the wilderness, like, I'll just practically, for me, do you know how I got out? A compass. No, I didn't use a compass. Who said that? Yeah, the man who's been in the wilderness. You follow the path that's right in front of you. Let me just tell you, sometimes God will, I'm going to say more than sometimes, often God will lead you into a wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4, in Luke chapter 4, both of them recount Jesus, his first days in ministry. His first days where he's gone from being a carpenter to now walking in the fullness of the Son of God and walking as a minister. Where is it that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, leads him? Anybody know in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, the first ministry that Jesus has, the first place he goes after he's baptized? Which is interesting, because did Jesus need to be baptized? I mean, like, was he repenting for sin that he had committed? No. But he did it. is an example for us and an example in humility to show us the path to follow. And as soon as he got up out that water and the heavens open up, God speaks, there's a dove that comes down. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And the next thing is this very spirit of God that spoke to him and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, is the same spirit that led him into the middle of nowhere for 40 days and he didn't have anything to eat. I'm just telling you, God will often lead us into the wilderness. And like, we get mad. And we're like, God, this doesn't make sense. Like, I know what you promised. Like, I thought it was supposed to be. And like, we get all spiritual and we go like, by like, I thought it was supposed to be in place of milk and honey. Like, we didn't even know what that means. It's kind of weird if you think about it. And somebody showed up and said, here's milk, here's honey. You'd be like, what am I going to do with that? But I mean, it's the reality. But I thought you were going to lead me to that place of milk. And we get mad. But the shortest route and our mindset of the path that God should lay out for us is so often contrary to his path and what it actually is. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 say this. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Two times in Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that was written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. And if you read Proverbs, there's 31 Proverbs, read one a day, you'll realize how wise this guy actually is. Twice in that book, he says the exact same thing. Do you think it's important? Any of you had parents where your mom would say, listen to me, listen to me. I mean, my mom would continually, if she had to repeat something, I knew, like, it was serious. If she called Todd, I mean, just honestly, I'd wait. What am I waiting for? For her to say it again. Why? Because I want to know if she's serious. If she said it again, oh, she was serious. And I'd go running. It's repeated twice. There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. If you try to walk your own path, you're in trouble. I mean, I remember on the top of the mountain, the trail, I don't know if it got fuzzy, we couldn't see, there was a turn, we missed it, but there was about a 60 mile an hour wind that was blowing. It was raining cats and dogs, and at the very peak of the mountain, it started to hail on us, which in all honesty was actually kind of cool because it was just small hail about that big, but it was still pelting and it still hurt and it was still disorienting. And just for a moment, we started going on the wrong path, and I got to a place where I was walking and it looked like there was a rock pile and I could see out, so I was going to see where we were, and I got up and I stepped on it, and I look up, I'm not really afraid of heights, and I look out and I realize I'm at about a 400 foot straight drop down, and it's like the rain and the hail are directly in my face. I pull my jacket down and go, this is really cool. But if I had not caught myself and I just kept on trucking, instead of trying to follow the right path, where would I have ended up? I'd end up hurt or dead. Let me just tell you, many people end up in that same place, either spiritually or practically in this natural world, because they've chosen their own way, because they don't want to walk the way that God has for them, because we like shortcuts, don't we? I love shortcuts. Okay, I went to school in Lafayette at UL. I graduated from UL, but my family is from there, and I'd been there. I lived there for a total of about 12 years. Lafayette is a strange city. It makes New Orleans look organized in the layout of their streets. I'm pretty sure it was organized. It was laid out by, like, their city planner was a drunk, no doubt about it, with cows, and I think he just followed the cows. It's insane. But there are at least, and I'm not kidding you, if you have to cross town, there are minimum 3 ways to do it. And there are often as many as 5. And every local will tell you the shortcut. How many of you here lived in Lafayette before? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about. It's crazy. If you got to go from East Broussard and you got to go downtown, there's at least, looks like 5 or 6 ways. And everybody has their shortcut. And I can't tell you how many times I took the shortcut and ended up not where I wanted to be and certainly not on time. Let me just tell you, shortcuts don't always equal better. And the shorter way doesn't always equal better. Look at Exodus 32:21. It says, the Lord was going before them, and a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. People worry about the future. And yet God led them day by day, day by night by day. In the day, it was a cloud, a pillar. It was a cloud, just a cloud in front of them. They followed the cloud. At night, it was a pillar of fire. They followed the fire. Am I content in following God? We'd all like to answer yes. But when God takes a left when we want to take a right, and we go, but that's the way that I want to go, and I can see where I'm supposed to be going, and it's just over here. But he's going this way. What do I do? Let me just tell you, the shorter way is not always the better way. Oftentimes, when you take that instead of following the leading of the Spirit of God, you end up at a place of death. Don't do that. This isn't a complex message. It's the long way around. The shortest way isn't always better. The second thing. Why would God lead us on the longer road? Number one, because the shortest way isn't always the better way. You do realize, he said, that I'm not going to lead them that way because they might see war. They might see war, and then they'd want to go back. Let me tell you, the battles that we encounter in our own strength, so often they're the very thing, it's the catalyst that the enemy will use to bring us back to a place of bondage. Trust God. It's a daily thing. As I've been reading through Exodus and studying this the last few days, like, I was very, very impressed that following God, like, we think, like, he's going to lay out the next 15 years and, like, oh, God, you're calling me to serve orphans in Romania. And, like, oh, I see it in the future. And I'm building an orphanage and I'm doing that. Or, like, God, you're calling me to build a business and I can see it and here it is. Or you're calling me to so-and-so, this person, and I can see us in this relationship together 20 years from now. And we play it all. Let me just tell you, as you look through the Bible, it's almost always a day by day, cloud by day, pillar by night. One day at a time. That's the leading of God. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, talking about anxiety, talking about worry, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Has anybody here been guilty of tomorrow worrying about it? Of course, we all have. Oh, gosh, what's going to happen tomorrow? Jesus says, don't worry about it. It's got enough troubles for itself. Just trust me today, right now. I mean, y'all know the story. Like, they're in the wilderness, and they complain. They get hungry. And what does God give them? Every day, they have to pick up. Every day. It's not, hey, here's your food supply for the next week. It's every single day. The shortest way isn't always the best way. Why does he lead us in the longer road? Because of that very reason, the shortest isn't always better. Number two, because the long way provides security. And here's the thing. The long way doesn't seem safe. It just doesn't seem safe. It seems like we're going to die. It seems like we're going to be in an awful lot of trouble. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 4 and 5. Or verse 5, it says, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart towards the people, and they said, what is this we've done, that we've let Israel go from serving us? So he made his chariot ready, and he took his people with him. Look at verse 10. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? You've dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? That's the mindset that many times we have. When we follow God, and like we think that he's bringing us to an awesome place, and let me just tell you the truth, he is. But it may not be on your time frame. And then we see like the enemy closing in, or like and the enemy can take many forms. I believe that it really is the devil, that his one goal is to destroy. He's a destroyer. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer. And that we see destruction coming our way. And the very thing is like, why am I here? I thought God was going to lead me someplace good. And then they turn on Moses. They turn on their leader and say, you said. Like, oh, I'm just following the leading of God. I mean, we're following the cloud and we're following the fire. And this is where it led us. Yeah, but look at what's coming. The long way provides security, but it doesn't look like it does. when you purpose in your heart to follow God and honor him and serve him and love him and be led by him and follow him where he goes, it's going to look like all hell is coming against you. And in many times that will get very, very close and you'll feel like you're right in the midst of things. But let me just tell you, it is the safer road if you trust God. What happens? Verse 12, is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you'll never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Can I tell you, that's such a huge, huge, huge verse. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. What were they doing? Moaning, whining, complaining. Question. By all accounts, do you think that their concerns were valid? Put yourself in their shoes. Were their concerns valid? Yeah, their concerns were valid. Like, they had just been delivered, like, supernaturally. It was crazy. It was awesome. Like, from their oppressor. And now they're in the middle of nowhere. I just want to remind you, they don't have food and water. They have all their kids with them. And they look off into the horizon, into the distance. They're following some crazy man. Now, granted, like, they've seen some pretty wild stuff. I mean, like, there's a pillar right here that they're following. And at night, it turns into this flaming orb that they're following. Like, that's pretty tripped out. But let me just tell you, I'm hungry. My kids are crying because their feet hurt. And they don't have anything to eat. And, like, this, like, yeah, there's some crazy stuff going on. But, like, I just want my kids to be okay. And I'm looking and I see the army coming. They're off in the horizon. They're going to be here in just a few hours. I can't say that I would not have been one of the complainers. And I think that the reality is that many of us in those situations, it's so hard to see. Like, we look back on this and go, man, that was 4,000 years ago. Like, these people were dumb. And they should have just trusted the Moses and trusted trusted God. Like, oh, really? Because how many times have I been doing exactly what I'm supposed to do? Like, God delivered me. Like, he showed up and it was awesome at first. Then it started to stink. And then I realized, wait a minute, like, this bites. I don't like this because now I feel like all exposed. And like, God, what did you promise me? I thought you promised me something good because it looks like death and destruction is coming my way. And I'm hungry and I'm tired. And so is everybody with me. Like, what's the deal, God? But it is the safer way. It's so sad that so many times in a moment of discomfort, people will turn away from the path that God has for them and go back to the place of bondage and surrender themselves to the one who wants to destroy them. The only reason he's chasing you is because you're headed in the right direction. Man, I know what it's like to want to quit in a tough spot. I know what it's like on a trail following that path, and it turns uphill, and there's no switchback. And you're going straight uphill, and you're scrambling, and you're dying, and you're going, man, I wish I could quit. There have been times on the trail, I wish I could quit because I'm so tired, because I'm so thirsty, because I didn't filter enough water. Let me tell you, thirst is a crazy thing, make you think some crazy stuff. You get in enough pain, and you'll do just about anything to get out of it. The thing you must do, follow God. Even when it looks like death is right there, like destruction's coming my way, and you're in extreme discomfort. What does Moses tell them? He says, don't be afraid. Let me just tell you, that is the word for some people tonight. I don't know where you are, but don't be afraid. If God led you to that place, he will lead you out of that place. So don't freak out. Stop freaking out. And then that verse, it's so powerful. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. The Lord will fight for you. That word while is so important because it links the first part of the sentence with the last part of the sentence. The Lord will fight for you. It doesn't say the Lord will fight for you, period. It says the Lord will fight for you. It's conditional. While you keep silent. Let me just tell you, many times we lose the battle because all we do is moan and complain and whine and open our mouth when in reality, God just wants us to shut up and let him do his thing. Man, I had that lesson drilled into me. And I still am learning that lesson. But it was the lesson from the time I was a little kid until I was in my mid to late 20s. My dad would look at me and say, son, you need to learn how to shut up. Just shut up. Can I just tell you, that is some of the wisest advice that I've ever been given. When you're in the place that you did not think that you would be, as you've been following God. Has anybody ended up there? You ended up in the place you didn't think that you would be, even though you're following God. I mean, honestly, today I kind of got some music and went like, really, God? Because that's not what I pray for at all. Like, wait, what? I'm going to have to do what? Like, I got 4 kids and a wife and like a house. And so I've got 2. Like, where am I going to live? Like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? That's not the news that I wanted to hear. But can I tell you, through all of it, God's going to be glorified. And if I just shut up and say, all right, Lord, do your thing. He does. Number 3. Why would God lead us on the long road? Because the long way produces a supernatural. For us, in us, through us. Everybody has a story. What's your story? There are so many times that God met my wife and I practically in our finances, personally in issues that we were dealing with, relationally, and just transforming, honestly, both of us. That our marriage isn't perfect, but can I tell you, it's pretty dadgum good. And I know where God's leading us in that relationship. It's one of the goals that I know that He's leading us there to the place that when people look at us, they go, I don't know anybody with a better marriage. I don't know that I'm there yet. And I feel like I've kind of taken the long way around. But I know that we're headed there. In that story, just even in our marriage, I can't tell you how many times there's just been supernaturally God show up. You know, the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. You probably know the story. They actually just finally shut up, and Moses takes them to the edge of the Red Sea, and he raises his staff, and it says, that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. Can you imagine what that was like? I mean, you got, 4 million people on the edge of the Red Sea, and you got an army at your back. Militarily? Heck, forget military. Like, you in a bind. I got old people. I got kids. I got no weapons. I got a lot of gold that I took from the people that are coming after me. I mean, I got all my stuff. I'm really hungry. I wish that was fresh water. You're in a bind. I'm just telling you, when it seems the darkest, God shows up. Moses raised his staff. They saw the supernatural. They walked through. They walked through. But here's the thing. Many times in the supernatural, God will meet you and He'll show up. But the enemy walks through that same thing to come after you. Don't be afraid. Trust God. They got through, and I'm sure that they were lining out along the edge of the Red Sea. Number one, that's just got to be crazy to see it like just wall up. And just, and they walk through, and they're looking behind them. Well, guess who's following them? The enemy. They get to the other side. They watch them. That's what God does to our enemies. That's what God does to the enemy that's kept us in bondage. He destroys them. But we can only see that happen when we trust Him and follow His leading to the place that we never thought that we'd be. I mean, imagine what Moses told this entire nation when he showed up and said, guys, you've been slaves for too long. God has an awesome place for you. You need to trust me. Do you think they felt deceived? I'd be lying if I said that there were times where I didn't feel that way. Like, God, this is where you've brought me. Not here in Lake Charles, just in like my walk in life. Like, this is it. Really? It's so easy to let discouragement and disillusionment set in. But when we follow, even when it seems the bleakest, he shows up and destroys the very thing that once kept us in bondage. Chapter 15, verse 22. Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. Then they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. I can't imagine what that was like. Anybody here ever been really thirsty? I've been so thirsty that when you finally get water, it doesn't matter if it's got floaties in it. It doesn't matter if it has dirt in it. It doesn't matter what's in it. And when it hits your stomach, it's like every cell in your body is just, it's the weirdest feeling. Has anybody ever been that thirsty where you've been denied water and you finally get it and it doesn't feel, it's a unique feeling, isn't it? It's crazy. 3 days without water, that's an exceedingly long time. And where are they? Yeah, they watched all of their enemies destroyed. They're in the same place they were before. They're on the verge of death. I mean, we took a road trip and we had to stop every 2 hours because we have small kids. Imagine road tripping with small kids and there's no food or water for 3 days. It's at the point of death. Do y'all realize that? I hope I'm painting a picture for you to see how bleak it was. And they're following God. This isn't like a feel-good message, is it? But when we follow God, he often leads us into the wilderness, but it's the path that he takes to bring us to the place that he's promised us, because we're not promised an easy walk with God. We're just not, because we live in a broken world. How can he promise us an easy walk with God when other people have been given free will to live their life their way? Because let me tell you, their choices invade your world. There they are, 3 days without water, verse 23. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. So it was named Marah, which means bitter. So they finally come to a place where they see water, but the water's bitter. I don't know what that means. Maybe it was salt. I doubt it was salt. They would have said salty. That it was bitter, that there was some mineral or something in it that kept them from drinking. Man. Have you ever been that way in your spiritual life? You're like, God, I'm following you. Like, what's the deal? Like, I thought, I'm dying here, and I think that this is going to be the very thing that brings life to me. And then it doesn't. Like, it's nasty, it's gross, it doesn't work at all. What happens? So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Wow. That was a miracle. It was a miracle in their deliverance. It was a miracle at the Red Sea. It was a miracle. Like, every time, though, it's like a really terrible situation. I'm in bondage, but God frees me. I'm in freedom, but bondage looks like it's right there, and so does death, but God delivers. Like, we're dying of thirst, and so is everybody around me, and this really bites. And I thought this was going to, like, God, I thought this was it. Have you ever had, like, the next thing that you thought was going to be the thing that sustained you and it didn't? Is that disappointing? And yet God showed up. Chapter 16, verse 1. They set out from there, from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after the departure from the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. How many pet plagues were there before their deliverance? Anybody know? How many? Thank you, 10. There were 10 plagues. All of them crazy, supernatural, amazing, unreal God moments. Then they were delivered. Then Pharaoh's whole army was destroyed as they crossed through the Red Sea. Then the water that they were going to drink, like it was supernaturally changed. They got something to drink. And now here they are, and they're grumbling again. Has anybody here, God met you routinely over and over and over? Please tell me I'm not the only one. Wisdom. Avoid the temptation to whine, to moan, to complain, to grumble. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you've brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven on you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction.'" What's the test? Trust him every day. Trust him every day. Trust him every day. Like when you're in the wilderness, like I know where ultimately the destination is. Like when we were in Arkansas, like I know where the destination is. I have a map, but like it's really not that good. And the only way to get there, I don't know what tomorrow may bring. The first time I've been on, like if it's a first time trail, I don't know what tomorrow may bring. All I can do is follow the path in front of me for that day. Same thing. Delivered from slavery, the Red Sea, the water at Marah, the manna at the wilderness of sin, because that's what happens in verse. Where is it? On the sixth day, I'm reading on. It's not in the notes. On the sixth day, when they prepare to bring it in, it'll be twice as much. And in the morning in verse 7, you'll see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumbling and says, "What are we? Why are that you grumble against us?" Wow. And here's what happens. They get two things. They get manna and they get meat. And they complain the whole time. Chapter 17. I'm just the last chapter, verses 2 through 6. Same thing. They're whining and complaining again. Do you see a pattern here? But God gives them water from a rock. In Exodus chapter 19, you're not going to turn there. They go to Sinai. They see an entire mountain covered with this fireball and the smoke and lightning, and they hear God's voice speaking to Moses on the mountain. And do you know what they do? They turn to their own way. Let me just tell you, don't complain. The long way is the hard way, but it's also the safe way. It's the place where God's purpose and plan for us is to make us into his image and to recognize that regardless of whatever will come our way, that he is our source and our guide. Don't we like the easy way, though? Anybody here like the easy way? I do. Like, I need to get back in shape. Like, I'm not in the greatest shape right now. Like, I just honestly wish that there was a pill or a drink that I could drink. Like, people make a lot of money selling drinks that you can drink. Like, it's supposed to help your health. Let me just tell you right now, I love Young and Savior. A lot of money, a lot of heartache, and some crazy meetings. Don't believe that junk. I don't care what it is. If they tell you, you drink this, and it's going to be the one thing that makes you better, that person's lying right now because it's contrary to everything in life. I mean, when's the last time you ate something that tasted really, 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 I'm talking really good, that was really good for you? Ever? No, I don't think so. Because if it tastes really, really good, and I really crave it, here's what I found. It's, like, really bad for me. Have y'all figured that out? There is no shortcut. There is no pill that I'm going to take that's going to help me lose weight. I may lose weight, but let me tell you, it's always at a cost. You realize that? Like, man, I want to get blowed up. I want to get big. I want to put some muscle. I can do that. There's some stuff I can take to, like, make that happen. But do you realize there's a consequence for it? What's the consequence for it? I can't even look like this. I actually know one of the biggest dudes I know. I mean, he's huge. But he took that stuff at apparently a pretty important time in his life when he was a young man. And even though he is, like, stout like a brick house, I mean, this dude is, I wouldn't want to mess with him. I promise you, when he talks, he's like, "Hey, how are you doing?" Like, I'm like, "Oh, man. Oh, I'm so sorry." Like, you don't say that because he's big. There's no shortcut. If there is one and you take it, you may get the results that you want, but in the end, the cost is so high that you don't want to pay it. So take your pills, drink your snake oil. But let me just tell you, the only way that you're really going to see change, I'm sorry, is when you do what is right. Come on, we all know what it takes. I'm just talking just about our physical bodies. We all know what it takes to be healthy, don't we? What do you have to do? Come on, y'all just tell, this is universal truth. What do you have to do? You have to eat right. Would you agree? Yes. You have to exercise in some form or fashion, don't you? Are there shortcuts? HydroxyCut works. I'm just going to say HydroxyCut works. You know how it works? It increases your heart rate so your calories are burned by your heart pumping. Now, here's also a reality. The consequences of that, your heart's only got X amount of beats in it before it gives up. So do you really want to speed it up so that you can drop 10 pounds? I mean, bro, that's a week right there. I'm sorry. There's a consequence. It's the same for us when we shortcut. We say, man, I want to take the near way. God, why didn't you take me the short way? You can come. All right, we're wrapping up. I'm about done. Don't take the short way. Don't take the short way. There's always consequences to it. I know from experience. You can take the short way in relationships. If y'all know anybody that in their relationships, they took a shortcut? How'd that work out? In the end, probably not so great. Now, they may have stuck it out and they may have stayed together, but let me just tell you, there was a consequence to pay. There's always a consequence when we take the shortcut. Just follow the leading of God. Like, how arrogant is it? And I'm so guilty of it myself. Like, God's saying, this way, like, there's a cloud, there's like a pillar of fire. Like, haven't you seen everything that I've done? I'm like, but that's hard, God. And I don't like what I went through to follow that. And like, I see exactly where we need to go. And like, I know you're going that way, but like, this way is a whole lot shorter. I think that's going to be better. Just do like that. And next, oh my gosh. Then we wonder why we hurt.
I got hurt in church. I got hurt in a relationship.
No, you stepped out of the path that God had for you. Proverbs 14:12, Proverbs 16:25. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's why. And I say I have so many life verses, I really do. But if there's one that I pick, that's hard. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. And if your path in following God is not where you thought that it should be, and that you think that you know best and that you're going to take your own personal shortcut to get to the place of fulfillment, to get to the place of satisfaction, to get to the place of joy, to get to the place of love, to get to the place of peace, to get to the place of I don't know, love, joy, peace, what else could it, of understanding, of patience, whatever it is, you do it your way, you will look as dumb as I did, because some of y'all probably thought that I actually fell. You ever watch people fall? Some of y'all watch those. Have y'all watched YouTube videos of people falling? I mean, to be honest, it's funny. Isn't it? I mean, I've seen some doozies, like face planting, like bam, ah! Don't they look dumb? Let me tell you, that's painful. It's easy to point and laugh until it's who? Until it's you. Trust in the Lord. Two things. Follow Him and keep your mouth shut. Learn how to shut up. Don't complain. Let God fight your battles. Just do it quietly. What is that? Exodus. That's Exodus 14, 14. And can I get that last thing before we do? Exodus 14, 14. The Lord will fight for you while you remain silent. No shortcuts. This walk through life, there are no shortcuts that bring me to the place of prosperity. And I'm not talking about money and stuff. No shortcuts. Anybody here? You go, I needed this tonight. I'm going to call you out. I needed it. Lordy, when you get news you're not expecting, you need that. Thank you, Lord, that I got this message yesterday and not today. I might have made a different message, like the devil's a liar. Don't believe anything you hear from him. And you shouldn't, but that's not the message that we need to hear when, not always, when we get into a place where we're like, I didn't expect that. Father, I just pray tonight that, Lord, that we trust you and your leading. God, I just thank you that you take us from a place of bondage. Bring us to a place of freedom. Lord, that you promise us a place where we can thrive and we don't have to worry about the enemy. Just like you promised that entire nation, you'd bring them to a place where they would be provided for, where there would be security. They would be able to live the life that you had for them. Lord, just as you promised them, and I thank you that you promised that to us. God, I just pray that we trust you in that journey. nobody looking around, if you're here and you say, I've been very discouraged in that journey lately. I feel like, almost like I signed up for a trip that it's like not what I expected. I'm just telling you. Oh, God's got something for you. If that's you, just somebody's looking, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you right where you are. Wow, it's a lot of people. Father, I pray tonight that you show us that the destination you promised us is going to happen. Father, I just pray faith for the journey and everyone that raised their hand. Everyone here, we trust you. We trust you. Lord, we remain silent. Let you fight. Father, may we only speak life. May we only speak gratitude. May we never complain because we trust you through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. That's it tonight. Love you all. If you need prayer, you're welcome to come up. Sunday's going to be fantastic. Great, great evening.